This morning I want to talk to you about more gratitude. More. Somebody say more gratitude. And by the end of this, I think we should just leave here with a friendly competition of who can be the most gracious, thankful person in any room. You know, when you get into the holidays, it often feels like who can be the most divisive and frustrating person in the room, especially when you get around the Thanksgiving table. Not in my house. Somebody say, not in my house. In fact, Pastor Art taught me many years ago, he said, disallow strife in your home. Amen. Say that with me, disallow strife in your home. And you know what? You don't have to be rude to end strife. You don't fight strife with more strife, right? You don't fight strife with more strife, but you just simply say, no, that's we're not allowing that in our home. It says in Colossians chapter 2, maybe some of y'all came here today just to learn, you don't fight strife with more strife. Colossians chapter 2, in verse 6. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. How many of you accepted Jesus as your Lord? Woo, yeah. Well, now you have a command to follow him. Let your roots grow down deep into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with what? Gratitude, thankfulness. Now in verse 8, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense. Somebody say high-sounding nonsense. That comes from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Well, you know what philosophies and high-sounding nonsense do? They stop your faith from growing, and they stop you from being thankful. It halts and kills thankfulness in your life. Because what philosophies of this world and the high-sounding nonsense of this world tends to do is make you feel entitled. Right? Am I right? Make you feel entitled to something instead of being grateful for what we have. Amen. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 16. Always be joyful. Yeah. Love you, Judah, my man. Never stop praying. Amen. I always struggled with this verse. Because really no one could give me a great explanation of what that meant until I finally had ears ready to hear. Because what I wanted it to be was, well, I need to bow my head and close my eyes 24/7. I need to skip school so I can go pray. No, that's not what that means. It means keep the conversation with God at the forefront of your mind at all times. You are always in communication with him. Verse 18, be thankful in all circumstances. Somebody say all circumstances. All circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Be thankful in all circumstances. No matter who you're around or who you're with or what kind of pressure you're under or how good the times are, your attitude should be joyful, in communication with God, and thankful. Amen. Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Just a quick poll. How many of you love the Word of God? Yeah. All right. Which of you are faster with the Bible app or faster with a physical Bible? Raise your hand if you're faster with a physical Bible.
Yeah.
That's where the true Christians are right there. No, I'm just kidding. How many of y'all are faster with the Bible app? Oh, that was a low high. I was like, praise the Lord. But you know what's important is that you use it. Amen. That's the important thing is that you use it and you read it. It doesn't matter if it's physical or if it's on a virtual iPad or iPhone or Android. No strife. Thank you. Thank you, Judah. I needed that reminder this morning. Psalm 100, Verse 1, shout with joy to the Lord all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Now, this should be a pretty familiar verse, especially around this time of the year. And for some reason, I always tend to preach at around this time of the year. And my prescribed message is gratitude and thanksgiving. So more than anything else that I've preached in an adult service over here is the topic of thanksgiving and gratefulness. Praise the Lord. Now, when we look at this verse in this passage, it's easy to dismiss what it means to enter into his gates. It's easy to dismiss what it means to go into his courts. We can think, well, there's someday we'll go into his gates. We'll go into his courts. Or maybe some people think that means the church. Well, you know what? You should come into church with thanksgiving. You should come into the church with praise. And if you come in grumpy, you should at least be leaving with thanksgiving and joy and praise. But you know what? When Jesus came, he said, it's better for you if I go. It's better for you if I go, so that the promise of the Father will come. And when the promise of the Father came, that is the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we became the temple. Somebody say that. We became the temple. You house the very presence of God inside of you. We could say it like this. You are now his temple. You are now his courts. Are you with me? Amen. And so anytime you wake up in the morning, you have the ability and the responsibility to acknowledge, I carry the presence of God. And I have now the responsibility to do what? Be thankful. Be full of joy. Are you with me? Amen. Why? In his presence is fullness of joy. So if you at least take time each and every day, I'm housing the presence of God. In his presence is fullness of joy. So it doesn't matter what I'm feeling on the outside, what's stronger on the inside of me, what's inside of me is stronger than what's on the outside. Are you with me? Amen. It's pretty quiet. Some of y'all need a reminder. What's in you is stronger than any pressure that the devil can put on the outside. Amen. His presence in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The presence of God that's on the inside of you is greater than any pressure, any discouragement, any disappointment. You have the joy of the Lord on the inside of you. And if you take time to acknowledge, I am now the temple of God. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. Well, you know what? You just take some time and just dwell and meditate. That's what the Lord said to Joshua. Meditate on it day and night. Meditate on his word. And when you do that, you begin to meditate. I am the temple. I have the presence right here. He's in me. He's beside me. He's around me. He's behind me. He's in my future. He's all around me. And so I have no reason not to be joyful. I have no reason not to be thankful. But when you refuse to acknowledge the presence, when you refuse to acknowledge the presence, that's when pressures become all too powerful, because we allow the pressures to become too powerful. So I have a question for you. What do we have to be thankful for? We have a lot to be thankful for. Well, we see in 1 Thessalonians 5, we need to be thankful always in all circumstances. What do we have to be thankful for? Well, number one, we have to be thankful for what he has done in the past. It says in Psalms 37, I want to read this to you out of the New King James and out of the Amplified. The New King James puts it like this: trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell on the land and feed on his faithfulness. Somebody say that. Feed on his faithfulness. It says this in the Amplified: trust, lean on, rely, and be confident in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land and feed surely on his faithfulness, and truly you shall be fed. So what does that have to do with thankfulness? He has been faithful to you. How many of you can say he's been faithful to you? He's been faithful to you. It says in Psalm 77, we're going to start in verse 9. Your fingers in these pages are going to get a workout. We're going to start in verse 9. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? And I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. But then I recall all he has done. Oh Lord, I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. You are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. Oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. By your strong arm, you redeem your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. Verse 16, when the Red Sea saw you, O God, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depths. The clouds poured down rain. The thunder rumbled in the sky. Your arrows of lightning flashed. Your thunder roared from the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your road led through the sea, your path through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there. You led your people along that road like a flock of sheep with Moses and Aaron as their shepherds. I want to tell you, you have so much to be thankful for because he brought you out of something. He brought you out of something. For some reason, man tends to become blind to what he has done in the past when they're facing that same exact thing in the now. Let's say you're facing some sort of financial difficulty. For some reason, we have thankfulness amnesia for all the times he has brought us out of financial difficulty. So what I encourage you to do is wake yourself up out of financial amnesia, out of thankfulness amnesia, and remember every time he's brought you through. Amen. Amen. This is not the first time he has brought you through. Amen. If you are a brand new Christian, I want to tell you, he saved you from hell and eternity. You were on the highway to hell. The worst destination, the worst position you will ever be in is on the highway to hell. Are you with me? And he pulled you off of that and set you on a path on the road to heaven. Are you with me? The best situation you were ever in, he has already redeemed you from. I want to say that to you again. The worst situation you have ever been in, he has already redeemed you from. And if he redeems you from that, he'll redeem you and get you out of any other trouble you have found yourself in. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It says this in Psalm 103. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget. Somebody say, never forget. Never forget. Why? Because we tend to forget. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does. Or may I never forget all of his benefits. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. I want to tell you, you put yourself in this verse. If you're the one who needs healing, he heals all of my diseases. If you're the one that needs some forgiveness, he forgives all of my sins. Why? Because he has. He has. If you feel like death is at your front door, I want to tell you, he redeems your life from death. He crowns you with love and tender mercies. You know, if you feel like I'm getting old, he renews your youth like the eagles. He fills your life with good things. If you feel like your life is full of bad things, he fills your life with good things. If you've been treated unfairly, guess what? He pronounces righteousness and justice. So we have so much to be thankful for. Why? Because he's done it in the past. What do we have to be thankful for? We have to be thankful for what he is doing in the present. It says in Psalm 91, in verse 14, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. They will call on me and I will answer. You know, if you call on him now, what's he going to do? He hears you and he will answer you. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and then give them my salvation. So I want to tell you, he will reward your life with good things, and then he will do what? Show you what's on the other side of eternity. He'll show you what's on the other side. David said this. He said, I would have fainted. I would have lost heart if I had not believed I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. It says this in Isaiah 65. Race, ready, set, go. No, I'm just kidding. Isaiah 65. It says this in verse 23. They will not work in vain, and their children will be not doomed to misfortune. For they are people blessed by the Lord, and their children too will be blessed. I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. I want to tell you that he's working in your life right now. He's working in your life right now. Say it with me. He's working in my life right now. You may not see it. You may not recognize it. You may not know it. But I want to tell you, he's working in your life right now. Your confessions and your prayers may seem empty, but I want to tell you, he hears them and he's working right now. It says, and Jesus said this of himself in John chapter 5, verse 17. He says, the Father is always working, and so am I. Say it with me. He's always working, and so is Jesus. Jesus himself told you, the Father's always working, and so am I. So I want to tell you, you've got a lot to be thankful for, because you may not see it with your own eyes, you may not recognize it with your senses, but he is working on your behalf, and you should just go ahead in advance and say, thank you that you are working in my life right now. I may not have eyes to see it. I may not have the senses to recognize it, but I know you are working because your word says you are working. Amen. Well, what else do we have to be thankful for? Well, it says in Jeremiah 29:11, what? I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster. They will give you a future and a hope. So you know what you have to be thankful for? You can be thankful for what he will do in your future. That he is not done with you. This is not your best. Your best is what? Still yet to come. Yes. I love Rodney's shirt this morning. What does it say? Nobody paid attention to Rodney because he's such a good looking guy. It's like, man, that he's living prayers, what? That he used to pray. But I want to tell you, you get to pray new prayers. Your best is still yet to come. And even when it's your time to go, guess what? You've got something better on the other side of eternity. Are you with me? So you've got to be thankful. Why? Because he's been faithful in your past. You can be thankful. Why? Because he's working in your life right now. And you can know that you've got a better tomorrow. Because he's still in your future. He's got a plan. He's got a future. He's got a hope for you. And you have so much to be thankful for. Amen. And so what I tell you is lift your head from where you're at and look to where he's taken you. Lift your head from where you're at and look to where he's taken you. Unthankfulness and disappointment and regret and shame want you to look down and at. But I want to tell you, lift your head and look to what he's and where he's taken you. Thank you, Bill. I love you, man. Luke chapter 17, what are some of the effects of Thanksgiving? I got a couple stories I want to share with you. Luke chapter 17. It says this in verse 11. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Praise God. One of them, when he had saw that he was clean, what? Came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." He fell into the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" As Jesus said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." Or a better translation is, "Your faith has made you whole." So 9 got healed, but 1 got whole. So what does thankfulness do? It makes you whole. Well, what's the difference between being healed and being made whole? Everything was restored back to this man. Financially, physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, in every way, this man was made whole. That's what thankfulness does. Thankfulness grabs the attention of God and says, "I got to do more for this one." Well, that hits some religion. Thankfulness grabs the attention of God and says, "I have to do more. I have to do more." And it grabs God's attention. And not only does he heal you, but he does what? He makes you whole. The promises of God are still to be fulfilled in your life. But when you turn around and make an offering of thanks, a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, he goes above and beyond. Amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
Who wants to be the most thankful person in the room? How many of you need some restoration in your life? Praise the Lord. I got another one for you. In Mark chapter 6. Verse 35. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to a nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat." But Jesus said, "You feed them." With what, they asked? "We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people." "How much bread do you have?" he asked. "Go and find out." They came back and reported, "We have 5 loaves and 2 fish." What this particular retelling of the story leaves out is the detail that this was a little boy's snack. Andrew finds this little boy and brings him to Jesus. And this little boy does what? He gives him the offering of his 5 Triscuits and 2 sardines. Then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the what? The green grass. The green grass. That sounds a lot like Psalm 23. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." Verse 46, you know, he's just doing what he sees his father do. Verse 46, "So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up towards heaven and blessed them," or gave thanks for them. "Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving." The Greek actually means this, that as he continued to thank, as he continued to bless, he continued to give. And so as he did this repetition of thanksgiving and offering and blessing, it what? Continued to pour out of his hands. He kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. Well, you can't hide five Triscuits and two loaves. Are you with me? Are you with me? He had five Triscuits and two fish. I mean, you can't be like, oh, well, we got more bread back. No. As he gave thanks, these began to multiply out of his hands. The disciples would come up and grab, and there's some more. The disciples would grab, and there was some more. Verse 42, they all ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers, bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. What was the recipe for the multiplication? Thanksgiving. Blessing him for what he has done. Thank you for these five loaves and two fish. And what happens? It multiplied and it multiplied and it multiplied. You know, your bank account may seem like it's got five Triscuits and two sardines in it. But I want to tell you, you thank him for what you have and you thank him for what he will do. You be faithful for what he has given you. You be faithful for what he has given you. You steward what he has given you. Amen? It means you do right with what he's given you. How do you do right with what he's given you? You still give. You still tithe. You still take care of your family. You still do what you're supposed to do. You don't gripe. You don't complain. You take care of what you're supposed to do. And you be a good steward of what you have and watch it multiply in your life. So Thanksgiving brings restoration. It brings wholeness. It gets the attention of God and it makes him say, I have to do what? More. This is the year of more. The year of more. So I want to say, the more gratitude we have, we get more of what God has. The more thankfulness we have, the more we get. One more passage, hopefully. Maybe. We'll see. Psalm chapter 50. Psalm 50 in verse 23. But giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. This is the Lord speaking. But giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. If you keep to my path, I will reveal to you the salvation of God. Somebody say that with me. But giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors him. Because sometimes giving thanks really is a sacrifice. It really is. How is it? Well, there's times you just don't feel like it. Are you with me? There's times you just don't feel like giving thanks. Why? Because you just want to be unthankful. And turning yourself around, picking yourself up, maybe slapping yourself a little bit, and get yourself in the right mind is what you need. Amen? Amen. And give thanks as a sacrifice. It's also a sacrifice when sometimes it may seem like it's embarrassing. Well, what does that mean? Well, not everybody wants to give thanks at the dinner table. People next to you are like, look at those freaks. They're giving thanks. Now, luckily, we live in a community that's not that weird. But you go to other places, go to bigger cities, nobody's giving thanks. It also can be embarrassing when the Lord has directed you to thank him in advance for something. And I want to tell you, he's given us all the directive to thank him in advance for things. And there are times, there are things that I'm believing God for, and he'll say, I want you to thank me for it anytime you see that or anytime you pass by. So I'll pass by and I'll say, thank you, Lord, for that. I have a good friend. And anytime he sees this truck drive by, this specific truck, because he's believing God for this specific truck, he says, thank you, Jesus, for my truck. And you know what? It honors the Lord. It honors the Lord. And he hears it. Amen? So how do we become more thankful? Well, the first one, it's not easy. I think they might get easier as we go. So the first one, we'll see. How do I become more thankful? You need to combat, which means you need to wage war against a frustrated, disappointed attitude with a vocal offering of thanks to God and others. We need to combat our. We need to combat our frustrated, disappointed, unthankful, ungrateful, stinky attitude with a vocal, somebody say a vocal offering of thanks to God. And, somebody say and others. You know what? It's easy to go and just thank God in your car and thank God in the secret, in the quiet. We need to thank God in public. Praise God. We need to thank God in public. But we also need to thank others in public. We need to tell others, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the investment that you've made. Thank you for buying lunch or whatever it is. Say thank you. You need to combat that frustrated, disappointed. Because if you're frustrated, Thanksgiving will do what? Make you non-frustrated. If you're disappointed, guess what? It'll encourage you. With a vocal offering of thanks to God and others. Number two, you need to set a daily goal of vocal offerings of thanksgiving to God and who? Others. You need to set a daily goal of vocal offerings of thanksgiving to God and to others. And you know what? I want to tell you this. If there's somebody or someone that you are frustrated with, maybe find something good to thank them for. I got one that's good. It was pretty quiet. If there's something that some people that you are angry with or disappointed with or frustrated with, you know what? Go find something that you can thank them for. And you know what that begins to do? It begins to redeem the whole situation. Amen. Amen? But set a daily goal. David had a daily goal of praising God at least 7 times a day. And that's just praising God 7 times a day. So there should be a bare minimum. I want to say a bare minimum of praising God 7 times a day. And thanking others as the Holy Spirit directs. Are you with me? Yes. You should be thanking others. I really think if you want to combat a frustrated attitude or you want to combat a frustrating situation, you get into Thanksgiving. Number three. Aim to be an example of thankfulness to others around you. Here's where you become the most thankful person in the whole room. And you can make a game of it. I'm not saying like a spiritual game where like you're just playing spiritual games, but you make a day out of it of what? I'm going to thank as many people as I can. I'm going to be the most thankful person in the room. People are going to think I'm weird. Let's see how uncomfortable. No, I'm just kidding. But you try to be the example of thankfulness. Be the example of thankfulness in the room, especially when you get around the holidays and you get around people you don't want to be around. They hand you a cup of eggnog. Who drinks eggnog? But oh my Lord. I'm thankful for you. You can drink mine. Thank you very much. Sorry. But you be the example of thankfulness. And they hand you a cup of coffee or eggnog or whatever you want to drink. And instead of just taking it and going on you say, hey, I really appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for inviting me over to your home. Thank you for this meal. You be thankful and show appreciation. Take them off guard. Take them off guard. Not only should we be the most thankful person in the room to teach others to be thankful, we need to teach our children to be the most thankful people they can be and the most ungrateful generation that has ever lived on this earth. We need to teach our children more than ever to be thankful and grateful. It was even prophesied that people will become unthankful and ungrateful the closer we get to the return of Jesus. The world can get worse, but the church does not. So you, your family, your children, and your grandchildren should be what? More thankful than anybody in the entire world. Are you with me? We need to teach our children to be thankful. And lastly, how do I be more grateful? Like I said, I've taught a lot on thankfulness and gratefulness. I usually speak around this time of the year. And last time I talked about being a kid and learning about thankfulness and Thanksgiving. And for some reason, the illustration was always, we need to be thankful for our toothbrush. Somebody say that with me. Be thankful for my toothbrush. Well, what does that mean? It means you start your day being thankful to God for the most mundane. Thank you very much. Mundane piece of equipment that you have, your toothbrush. Now, if you want to get really thankful, you will get wild with it. Thank him for your toilet paper. Are you with me? And you may be like, well, Tim, this is ridiculous. Who gave you money to get your toothbrush? Who gave you money to get your toilet paper? Who gave you money to pay your water bill so you can flush the toilet? Praise God for indoor plumbing and running water. We have so much to be thankful for. Are you with me? Start your day with thanking God for the most mundane piece of equipment that you have. Thank God for your car, even if you don't like your car and you're believing him for a new one. Thank you for my car, and I thank you for my new car. Even if you don't like your house, thank God that I have a roof over my head and walls around me to protect me and keep me warm. And I thank you, Lord, for my new house in the name of Jesus. Even though you're believing God for something else, does not mean you have the license to become ungrateful for what you do have. Or even begin to let what you do have deteriorate and disintegrate. Are you with me? If you want God to give you a new car, you should probably take better care of this car that you have than any other time. Are you with me? Maybe get the oil changed. Are you with me? There are free vacuums in town. Just go and vacuum your car. Get a hose outside if you don't want to pay for a car wash. Go outside and hose your car down. Are you with me? Take better care of what you have and believe in God for what you will have in the future. Are you with me? But I want to tell you, the one thing that I really want you all to understand is that thankfulness is the key to more. Thankfulness is the key to more. And the more thankful and the more grateful you are, the more you get of God, the more you get of him. Thankful for what he has done and thankful for what he will do. Are you with me? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If y'all would, let's bow our heads together. Let's pray. And Father, we just thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Somebody say that. Thank you. Just spend some time just thanking the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you just become the most thankful person in the room? Why don't you just take this time? Nobody's judging. You just become the most thankful person in the room. I'm so thankful. Thankful, 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 thankful. I'm so thankful. You know what? Just begin to mention things that you're thankful. Thank you for my toothbrush. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my spouse. Amen. Even if you don't feel like thanking God for them, thank God for them. Tear down that wall of frustration. Amen. Thank God for our children. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now I want you to go and think back in the past. Thank Him for what He has done. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've always brought me through. You have always brought me through. You've always brought me through. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 I can remember times when there were bills. How many of you can remember time there were bills? Maybe you remember a time just a few moments before you came to church and there are bills. Are you with me? There's a time when there were bills and they were stacked and I didn't know what to do, but the Lord came through and He paid them. And He paid them. Are you with me? How many of you can remember a time where He's paid your bills? He's gotten you through. He's gotten you through. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many of you can remember there was a surprise attack in your life and you were caught off guard and you were surprised by what happened, but the Lord protected you. The Lord sustained you. Are you with me? One story I just don't tell very often. It was when Juliana, our first child, was born. Everything was good. Everything was great leading up to delivery. But at delivery time, there were some complications that began to happen with Sarah. And communication with the doctors and nurses to us was not very efficient. We'll just say that. And I took Juliana and I took her to meet my mom and dad and Tyler. But I knew there was something going on in my spirit. There was something going on in my spirit. And my dad said, I knew there was something going on. And I took Juliana. And you know you don't want to leave that baby. I took her and I put her in the nursery. I said, Juliana, I'll be back. And I went in that room and there was a lot of complications going on, a lot of things not going right. How many of you have been in a situation like that? Maybe not with a pregnancy or delivery or anything like that, but you were in a hospital room and things were not going well, but God. Amen? But God. And He turned that whole thing around. And now she's in there in the nursery with our second child. Amen? Amen? We have so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. You know what? I want to tell you. I want to prophesy something to you. You can be thankful for your future. I want to tell you in the name of Jesus, it's going to be the best holiday season you've ever had in your life. In the name of Jesus. And I want to say 2025 is going to be the best year of your life. In the name of Jesus. And I want to tell you, 2026 is going to be even better. In the name of Jesus. As long as the Lord tarries, you remain thankful and your years will be better. Amen. Amen. And there were times when things looked completely hopeless. Things looked terrible. But how many of you know He came through? You need to get that amnesia off your mind. Get that amnesia off your mind. Amen. We've got so much to be thankful for. I've got so many people to be thankful for. Amen? 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 How many of y'all got some people to be thankful for?
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Where's Ms. Linda at? Where's Ms. Linda at? She's somewhere over there. I know it. Ms. Linda, I'm not going to embarrass you much more. You don't have to stand up. Ms. Linda, thank you. Thank you for serving in the children's ministry for decades. You may have thought that all your efforts were obsolete and vain. You didn't know if you were making a difference, but you made a difference in my life. Not only did you make a difference in my life, you made a difference in dozens and hundreds, potentially even thousands of other kids. And the seeds that you've sown are having a harvest. So thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to do this illustration, but you know what? If there's someone that you're just really frustrated with, where's Tyler? You know what? Be led by the Holy Ghost and let Thanksgiving redeem that situation. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Miss, you got a word you want to share with us? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
How many are thankful for Tim, Pastor Tim, this morning? As we would say in Kentucky, he's a good one. Well, the Lord, we're thankful for the Lord and his prophetic word, and he wants to bless us today. He said, "It's happening," says the Lord. Can you see it? Can you feel it? The new thing. It's a glorious thing. There will be roads in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Shall you not perceive it, receive it, embrace it, prophesy and pray into it, release it, and partner in this process to create and recreate change that is monumental in this nation and across the nations? Lift up your eyes unto the hills. Where does your help come from? Your help comes from me, your Lord and your God. Seek me, trust me, and know me. This next line will get you. Do not look to the left or to the right. Heed my instructions and be swift to obey, for in your obedience is the breakthrough. The times, they are a-changing. The seasons are changing. Many new things will be old things that have been resurrected. Life brought into things and situations where people had prophesied death and released death into things and the culture of my people. I have given you authority, beauty for ashes, healing the sick, setting the captives free, a garment of praise against the spirit of heaviness, and double for your trouble. Verbal, says the Lord. You must not simply sit back and listen or sit back and watch. You are called, assigned, and released to be established in and during this process. You are my overcomers. I call you the swift ones. So arise swiftly, heed the call, partner with me and my angelic beings. I am the Lord Sabaoth, and I lead a mighty army. Do not be tripped up by fear or confusion that would and will come from the enemy's camp. Be a swift one. Take flight in the things of me. Walk in the Spirit. Soar in the Spirit. Roar in the Spirit. For now is the time for my power and dunamis to be released into my powerful ones. Do not see yourself as a spectator. You are called to battle, called to change what appeared to be unchangeable, to move what appeared to be immovable. You are my beloved, and this is your portion. I am your portion.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, 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 Lord. How many of you believe he's doing something new? There is a part of that I appreciated. Maybe you can clarify what you said, that new things will be old, the things that were.
Some of the new things, many new things will be old things that have been resurrected.
The new things will be. Old things have been resurrected. So I want to tell you, there's some things that you thought were dead, but he's bringing back to life. Praise the Lord. Some things you have just resolved, well, I guess that's never going to happen. It's going to happen in the name of Jesus. Amen. How many of y'all are thankful for the Holy Ghost? Thank you for the Holy Ghost. I want to say something that's going to make some religious people mad, and then we're going to praise the Lord until you get over it. You should be just as thankful for the Holy Ghost as you are for Jesus. You should be just as thankful for the Holy Ghost as you are for Jesus. Amen? You should be thankful for salvation. And you should be just as thankful for the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence and the power and the gifts and the fruits. Amen? Amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Y'all want to praise the Lord? Y'all want to praise the Lord? Yeah.